Hello, thank you for listening today and downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. Our mission statement is presenting Jesus, the revelation of grace and truth that transforms lives. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message.
You know, it's the devil's pattern. If he attacks you one way a certain time, and then you get healed of that, it's not uncommon for the enemy to come back, circle back around, try the same thing again. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, but that's kind of a common pattern of the enemy. I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but that's fine. If you're a first-time visitor today, we didn't get a chance just to welcome you. We'd like to just say welcome. We're glad that you're here. We don't believe it's by accident. We believe you're here by divine appointment. So we are glad you're here, and we'd like to acknowledge your presence. If you're a first-time visitor, would you mind just lifting up your hand real high, and our ushers are going to come by and give you a little guest card and a little pen to fill that out. So if you're a first-time visitor, just raise your hand up, wave at me so I see where you are. Hi there, folks. Hi. Good morning. Hi. Good to have you. You might need to raise your hand at once again. It's a little dark in there so they can see you. Hi. God bless you. We're always delighted to have new people with us. Jerry, when you were walking around, I got a little glimpse. I thought it was like a Superman cape you're wearing. You don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't speed into the wind. You don't take the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with him, right? That's your song, brother. That's your song. Thank you, Jerry. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. We have some new people who are new members to our church. Three of them are out of town. I'd like to introduce them to you. And Steve and Taisha Brunner are traveling in an RV across out toward the west. And their last Sunday was last Sunday, but they are new members with the new member class. Baruch Greenstein is ministering at another church today. And so he's not here, but Scott Redlinger, where's Scott? Are you here, Scott? There you are. You're the lonely representative. God bless you, Scott. Welcome to our family. And you'll welcome these others when they return. But be sure to do that. We're always glad that God sends us people that we to minister to and receive ministry from them. Today I want to talk to you about the Fruit of the Spirit series, the fruit that you cannot live without. In fact, the other fruit that in your life that God wants to produce won't be produced without this particular fruit. And it goes along with what God's doing with the healing ministry here today, too. It fits beautifully. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. You cannot bear fruit unless you abide with Jesus. For without me, you can do nothing. I'd like you to ask yourself the question, how do I abide in Jesus? And what would be your answer? How do you abide in Jesus? I mean, practically, how do you do that? You get saved, but there's more to it than just getting saved. How do you abide in Jesus? I'd like you to picture in your mind right now a strong, healthy tree. A strong, healthy tree doesn't have to worry about producing fruit or getting rid of dead leaves. As long as it's healthy, as long as it has that healthy sap inside it flowing, then and all the nutrients going inside through that sap, it will naturally push out the dead leaves. That's what we see happening now as we're turning into springtime. And it'll just naturally push out the dead stuff, and the new stuff will come automatically. As long as the healthy sap of life is flowing, new leaves will spring forth and produce good fruit. It's automatic. All the tree has to have is have that healthy sap flowing to all the parts of it. And it will bear fruit. So how do we abide? What's it going to take? It's going to take a different mindset. We're going to have to look at life and all the stuff that comes along with it, the unexpected things. We're going to have to look at it with a different mindset. That there are no coincidences in life for us, for a Christian. Our steps are ordained by the Lord. What trouble and trials you walk through, God already knew that was going to happen. He's tried to prepare us along the way for what's coming so we can be overcomers in every area of our life. And so there's no coincidences. God has you on a trail. Everybody say trail. He's got a path for you, a trail that he wants you to go on. You're on a journey with him. And the good, bad, and ugly things that have happened in your life, even the messes you've created yourself, God didn't create, but he somehow sovereignly allowed it to happen, what he could have stopped. So that means he's some way or another going to show you in the mystery of God how he can work all things together and make good come out of even a bad situation. And so you have to look at life differently. We can't have the same mind that we had before we got saved and expect to bear fruit if we're going to abide with Jesus. I like what James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing is a mind, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience," knowing this. So you have inside information now about life and all the uncertainties. You know things that most of the people of the world don't know. Knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience. And what is patience? According to the Bible, patience is that word hupomone, which means to endure, patient continuance, patient waiting, actually to cheerfully endure. To cheerfully endure, not just endure, but to cheerfully endure, knowing that somehow or another, you're going to get some joy out of this trial that other people will not get. You're going to know the Lord in a way that you did not know him prior to this. And so this patience can mean remaining under the pressure. Don't cave in. Don't give up. Even if you're being treated ill by other people, persevere. Hold fast to your faith in Christ. Be deliberate. And then it goes on to say in James 1:4, but let patience have her perfecting work, that you may be perfect, that means mature, lacking nothing. Let it continue. Let it work in your life. Let God produce patience in your life, this fruit you can't live without, through the trial, through the difficulty. Hang on, God is up to something. Something's happening in your life, even when it doesn't look like something's happening. Now, I want to prove that to you this morning in a little bit of time we have. Listen to the words of God in 1 Peter, which was a book written to by Peter, by through the Holy Spirit, to Christians who were suffering extreme persecution. I mean, they were losing their houses, losing their jobs, some losing their lives. And Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote this. And God said, that's good. That's going in my book for these people to read in 2019. And here it is. He says, in this affliction, you saints greatly rejoice, even though now, if for a little while, you've had to suffer, you had to suffer various trials. Other version says, if need be, you're in heaviness. Another version says, if necessary, you have to go through various trials. If necessary, you have to go through some things. So what I'm trying to point out to you is this. There are some trials in this trail that you and I are on with God that are necessary trials. That may go against your theology. I don't know. But if it does, it goes against the Word of God. Because there are necessary trials. There are necessary things that we have to go through that God has ordained, that it's a necessary thing. Why is it necessary? We don't understand the purpose of a trial. We don't understand the purpose of suffering and why God allows it to go on. But God knows what we need. And when I typed in the word, when I was typing out this message this week, and I typed in the word trial, T-R-I-A-L, I misspelled it and it came out trail. And I said, thank you, Lord. You just taught me something. A trial is a trail. God has taken you somewhere that he did not stop this thing from happening. So now he's taken you on a trail to discover something of him you would not have discovered had you not been through this trial. So your trial is actually a trail taking you somewhere good. And that's why you can rejoice ahead of time, even when you don't see any reason to rejoice. That's why you can rejoice in the Lord always and obey the commandment of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And that's why you can obey the commandment of God. And everything, give thanks, child of God, because everything works together for good. You can do this because God said now to do it this way. He's not teasing you. He doesn't take pleasure in your suffering. He wants you to have joy in the trial because it's a trail taking you somewhere good. Now that's faith. That's faith. That's practical living. That's faith. And so this trial is really a trail. So you ought to stop right now and just maybe you need to give God a little apology for complaining and whining and crying about some of your trials and say, Lord, you know, I misspelled that word. It's really a trail. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to quit whining and murmuring and complaining and squalling like a little adolescent, and I'm going to grow up and mature, and I know my God is great and big and good, and he can do anything. Well, even if you don't feel like saying that, eventually you will. Now, some strategic suffering is necessary, according to the Word of God, to increase our strength and faith muscle. Now, when we get under pressure, Satan intends for us to fall. Satan is expecting us to cave in. He's expecting us just to fall to pieces, just because, you know, and cry and just fall to pieces and fall away from God. Well, what is God seeking out of this? He knows it's a difficult thing for you. He knows you don't know everything. He knows it's a suffering that you're going through. What is God seeking to get out of this trial in your life? Here's good news. The Word of God tells us the answer. 1 Peter 4:1 says, now, since Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves. Likewise. With the same mind. If I tell you, arm yourself, what would you do? You'd get a weapon. Arm yourself with the same mind of Jesus, who went through all kinds of suffering, more than we'll ever experience. Arm yourselves. Church, arm yourself. You have an enemy who's going to attack. Arm yourself. Ahead of time. Don't sit there like a sitting duck. Arm yourself. Well, preacher, tell me, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to. Arm yourself with the same mind when it comes to suffering and when it comes to your trial. The same mind of Jesus. They tell me that a commercial airline pilot goes through training and retraining every 6 months. He comes out of the plane and they put him in a simulator. And in the simulator, they put him through whatever possibility you could possibly ever think of. Lightning striking the plane or the plane suddenly losing power or whatever possible thing could happen. In the simulator, the pilot is learning. He's getting armed to know how to hand a sudden difficulty that's unexpected. He's getting armed. And in the same way, through this simulation, through this training, through this practicing, he's getting armed so that when you go up in an airplane, and if you've ever been flying somewhere, and suddenly you come into a lot of turbulence, and the plane feels like it's shaken to pieces. And the pilot comes on with a very calm voice. Ladies and gentlemen, we're experiencing some mild turbulence. Please remain seated in your seatbelt. We'll get through this. It's a small storm, and we'll get through this in just a few moments. Thank you. Well, he's calm. Everybody in the plane's going, what in the world is going on? We're going down. I mean, it's shaking and rattling and rolling, and it looks like the wings are about to come off. And yet the pilot's just as calm as can be. You wouldn't want to hear a pilot say, hey, we don't know what's happening up here, but y'all better pray. This is really bad. Get back in your seat. If you've got a parachute, put it on. You'd be glad he doesn't do that. Why? Because they're armed. The crew had been armed. Now, the passengers haven't been armed unless they've been through a turbulence before. But they've been armed with, hey, we've been through this. It ain't no big deal. So what? That's why I said a little earlier when Jerry gave his testimony. Jerry, you know, I'm not surprised that the enemy come back and try to get onto you the same way he did before, and he got whipped before, and he got mad about it because you started preaching and teaching again about healing then. And then the enemy said, well, I'm going to come back and get him again. That's not uncommon. It's not uncommon. But the bad news for the devil is you've been armed. You're armed and dangerous now, brother. You're armed and dangerous. So when we go through suffering, we go through trials, we got to realize that God is doing something. He's arming us. A trial is just a trail taking you somewhere God sees you need to go. It's a necessary thing. James 1:12, blessed is the man that endures temptation, or is patient in temptation or trial. For when he's tried, he will receive the crown of life. Everybody say crown. Which the Lord has promised to them who love him. The crown represents authority and power. The man who patiently endures this thing, the man who goes through this thing, the man who sees it's a necessary trial, it's good, it's taking me somewhere, he gets crowned. He gets authority and power that he didn't have before. Are you with me? Now I have authority and I have power to come up here in the church and share my testimony because I've been through something and I have authority and power and God's crowned me and I take this authority and power and I bless the people of God and people get healed. Can you see what God's been trying to tell us today? Are you awake? So what you're going through is a necessary trial. Quit whining about it. Thank God for it. Before you see anything good, just thank God for it. That really gives the devil a headache when you start thanking God and praising God for a thing that he thought for sure you're going to cave in and go into a deep depression and you're going to, you know, want to take it all, jump off the bridge or something. You know, it just ruins the devil's day because you've got a new mindset. Now, you don't think like you used to think. Charles Spurgeon said, if we can't believe God when circumstances seem to be against us, then we don't believe him at all. So usually a trial, when a trial comes in your life, I don't know about you, but for me, my experience has been when a trial comes in my life, it comes not when I'm really going good and doing strong in the Lord, but it comes when I've been had one thing, but I've had multiple things to deal with. And maybe I've gone through a dry spell spiritually. Can I get a witness from anybody? Have you ever been in a desert? You ever been in a spiritually dry place? And you need water. And water is scarce in the dry place. And water represents the refreshing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said that in our belly are rivers, plural, of living water. It's in us. Say, in me. If you're a believer, it's in you. The Holy Spirit, the rivers, plural, of living water are in you. So you're in a dry place spiritually, so you haven't really know that you've heard anything from God. You're reading the Bible, but it's like dry cereal with no milk. You're not getting much out of it. You know, you're still going to church and everything, but you're just dry. What do? It's like you're in a desert. You're spiritually going through a tough time, and you need a refreshing touch from God. You need a word from God. And the water's there, but it's not on the surface. You're going to have to go deep. A lot of people, this is when they change churches. You know, my church is dry. Well, it may be dry, but you shouldn't be dry. Well, and this is when they go to another conference, because I got to go to a conference. I got to get a B12 spiritual shot pumped in me again. And they go to conference, to church, and they don't realize what they need's already inside them. There is a river or a well, and it's there. Now, you may have to do this. Come on now, I got to. You may have to do that. You may have to go deeper. I mean, way deep. Out there in the back where people sit because they don't want to be touched by the preacher. There's one. Yeah. You may have to go real deep. Yeah. The water's there. But you got to go deep. You're going to have to draw it out. The Bible says in Isaiah 12:3, it says, therefore with joy you will draw out the waters from the wells of salvation. Now look at that word salvation up there. It's written in Hebrew. Actually in Hebrew, it's the word Yeshua. Jesus. Therefore with joy, you're going to draw out of the waters from the wells of salvation, or the well of Jesus. Where's Jesus? If you're a believer, where's Jesus? He's in you. That's where you're going to get your refreshment from. It's not from the evangelist. It's not from the TV preacher. It's not from the conference. It's not from a bunch of people. It's not when they finally sing the right song. No, it's already in you. You got to go deep, man. Isaac in the Old Testament was the son of Abraham, and he was in a land where there was a famine going on and a drought, and he was led by the Lord to be there. And the Philistines, which represent the world, had come along and they had plugged up the wells that his father Abraham had dug years before. So the wells that Isaac needed to get water out of from a desert were plugged up by the Philistines or the world. And so now I need water, God. What am I going to do? Well, a lot of people were saying, well, you need to go down to Egypt because they got plenty down there. But Isaac was listening to God, and God didn't tell him to go down to Egypt. When you don't hear something from God, don't think that God's upset with you. Maybe it's just you don't need to do anything. When people come for counsel and they say, you know, I can't get God to tell me what to do. Well, I said, well, he just told you. When you don't know what to do, what do? Don't be like crazy people in the world and just do something because you're going to get in a mess. Don't do anything. God knows how to ring your number. He knows how to talk to you. He knows how to communicate to you. You don't do anything. Just stay where you are. This is what Isaac did. He stayed right there, and you know what he did? He went back and got the shovel and got the boys and said, come on, let's redig this well. We got water from it before, so we're going to get water from it again. We got healing from this source before, Jerry, so we're going to get it again. We got healing before, Karen, so we're going to get it again. We got provision before, So we're going to do it again. See, you have already been armed. If you've lived more than a year as a Christian, you've already been armed to a great degree. You've been through some stuff. And thank God you've been through some stuff. You got some stories to tell. You got some miracles to talk about. You got some miracles of provision, miracles of healing, miracles of guidance. You've already been armed. So whatever you're going through right now, you go, so what? It's just training. It's just training. And it's a trial that's actually a trail. So you got to go deeper, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what that means for you to go deeper. But you are the one that's got to draw out what you need out of Jesus. You draw it out. You may need to go deeper. Deeper with God. Maybe he wants you to experience a depth of him that you've never known, or the depth of his love for you that you've never known. Isaac didn't seek ease. He didn't say, well, there's no water here, so let's move on. No, he stayed put because that's where God wanted him. And he redug the wells. And he went deep. And it takes patience with God to do that. Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Take courage. And wait for the Lord. And that word wait there means to expect patiently, expecting good to come out of this situation from God. I said in the very beginning that this is the fruit you cannot live without. You won't walk with God very long if you don't have patience. You won't walk with God very long if you don't have patience. It's been said that God is never in a hurry. God is seldom early, never late, but he's always on time. That's true. That's true. The only time we ever see a picture or type of God running in the Bible was the father of the prodigal son. And you don't realize, and I'm going to preach on that more, Lord willing, when I talk about love, but the father of the prodigal son, when he saw his son coming from way yonder, after he'd done acted a fool, the father ran to meet him. And to run, you got to remember they had robes. So this is a Middle Eastern older man, and it was very undignified for a Middle Eastern older man to show his legs. But he had to pick up his robes in order to run. And he ran to meet his son. Several reasons, and we'll get into that later, but one of the reasons was he ran to meet his son because he had to get there before the town folk got there. I could say it this way, he had to get there before the church folks got to him. Because the church folks would have given that boy what for? You know what kind of headache you caused your mom and dad? You know what kind of rascal you've been? You ought to be ashamed of you. You ought to get out of here and never come back here again. You ain't welcome here. If you think you're going to come back here and live like that, you just get yourself on out of here. That's what a lot of church folks would have told him. And so the father ran ahead and met him before anybody else could get to him. And he hugged him and he loved him, gave him a ring, put a robe on him, put shoes on him. He said, this is my son who was dead and now he's alive. Hallelujah. God didn't bring any condemnation, any shame. He embraced him and brought him back in. Woo, my goodness. That's another sermon, but I couldn't help but share a little bit of that. Wow, God has us in a trial, but it's really a trail. And if you're in a dry season, don't go to some other place looking for something. You already got what you need. It's right there. Just draw it out. Draw it out, Lord. It's in me. Everything I need for life and godliness has already been given me in Jesus. I have everything I need, Lord. You're all I need. Help me to learn to go deeper with you. And so I said at the beginning, this is a fruit you can't live without. Without patience, you won't even be able to bear any other fruit. Last scripture, I just want to show you this one. Luke 8:15. Speaking about how you handle the word of God. If your heart is good, and when you're like right now, see, I can't tell who's really receiving this word and who isn't. You all look like you are, but one out of every four, according to Jesus in this parable, is really good ground that'll bear fruit when the word's given. And so here's the good ground. The good ground is described like this. Having heard the word, you've heard the word, and keep it in an honest and a good heart, receptive, open to God, will bear fruit with what? Come on. You're going to have patience with God. You'll bear fruit. If you don't faint, if you don't give up, if you don't quit, if you don't get mad at God, if you don't start running your mouth and saying things that you shouldn't say, and say, well, God ain't helping me, God ain't healed me, things aren't getting any better, man, oh, shut up. I mean that in the most respectful way I can tell you, but sometimes you need to tell yourself, shut up. Because you're not in alignment with God. You're not saying the things that God's saying. You don't have the mind of God. Now, go get the mind of God about this matter. And if you're going to speak, only speak what He says. He said, by His stripes you were healed, and by His stripes you are healed. Then say that. Say it with your mouth. Quit saying all the other stuff. See, you got some wells to redig. We should have brought shovels for everybody today to go home and start digging your well. You already got more in you than you'll probably ever use in this lifetime. I think the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago, and I shared a little bit with Pam about it, but I think He spoke to me a few weeks ago, and He was saying to me that I have given you over 40 years worth of experience with me, and it's hidden down in your heart, and I want you to learn to let the words and the things that I've given you come out of your heart rather than your head. You've already got it. You got more than you'll ever use. You've been armed to the hilt. So if you'll learn to, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak. When it's filled up with the things of God, man, that's the best sermons you ever hear. Best message you ever hear come out of the heart. The heart. Anyway, he was just telling me that quit relying so much on your sermon preparation. Just work on your heart preparation. Even if you get up at times, and I have, and I don't have any notes, and if I haven't given you anything to preach at that particular moment, don't be afraid, because I've already got it in your heart. And I'll tug on your heart, and it'll come out right when it's supposed to, and it'll come out the way it's supposed to, and you trust me, and you see, I'm armed and dangerous. And so are you. I mean, the devil pokes you one way. It's like, whoa, you done mess with the wrong person, buddy. You don't know what you're getting into. We already have an abundance. Hallelujah. So this is the fruit you can't live without. It's patience. Patience with God, patience with yourself, patience with other people. It's a fruit of God's nature. We should be the most patient people on the face of the earth, because we have God's patience. Hallelujah. Let's stand up together. Altar workers, if you'll come up here and join me. And Jerry, if you want to continue to pray for people, brother, come on. You're welcome. If you want to sit, you can sit. That's fine. They can come to you and you can pray for them. That's fine. That's wonderful. And I'm going to pray for you. God's going to minister to you as you let Him minister to you. You'll be healed if you'll let God heal you. You'll be provided for if you let God provide for you. If you just be patient, you'll bear fruit unlike anything you've ever seen in your life. Patience. 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 You know, most car accidents happen because people are in a hurry. Most of my mistakes that I think that I've made in my life have become because I've been in a hurry. God's just not in a hurry. You can't walk with God and be in a hurry. The only times he's in a hurry is to embrace you, to love you, to receive you back, or to receive someone who's wandered away and they're wondering, will God take me back? Oh, yes, he will. He'll run to meet you. Wow. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a moment. Father, thank you. Now, Holy Spirit, would you minister to your people in the only way that you can do, in the way you know what they need, each one of us need encounter with you, experience with you, refreshment from you, renewal from you. We need confidence in you, God. Help us, Lord. And while your head's bowed and your eyes are closed, if there's someone here who's never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, listen, that's not a hard thing to do. It's a gift. And all you do to receive the gift is believe and receive. Jesus did all the heavy lifting. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's alive right now, and you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. And whoever believes on the Lord will not be disappointed. You can do that right now. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I do believe in you. And I know that I need salvation, and you're the only way. So, in the best way I know how, I ask you, come take the throne of my heart. Be my Lord, be my God, be my Savior. I trust in you, and I receive the gift that you died for me to have. Forgiveness of sin, salvation, forever, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. These wonderful altar counselors up here to minister to you. We believe in laying hands on the sick. They recover. We believe that God can baptize with the Holy Spirit. God can give you prayer language. He can do anything. If you have need of prayer, that's what you should do. You should exercise that opportunity. Come up and ask one of them to pray with you. Let them pray with you. They may have a word for you. They may not, but they may. Listen. Let God be God and stay on this trail with him. Be patient. Turn your trial into a trail. Thank you, God. You be blessed today. Thank you for being here. Our visitors stopped by the front of the bookstore. I'll be there in a few minutes.